Last week, Craig laid a great foundation in the message that he brought. The message was called Follow Me. And today, I get to do part two. We get to do part two together. And the title of part two is Take My Yoke. And essentially, we are learning from Jesus. But before I kick off, I just want to mention this. I'm not going to be moving around the stage too much. I'm going to pretty much be anchored here. And the reason for that is because every step that I take reminds me of the value of discipleship. And the reason that I say this is because there's a word that's encapsulated under the... Okay, we're only starting now, by the way. There we go. I stole about 2 minutes there. There's a word that's encapsulated under the term discipleship, which is teacher. And this last couple of weeks, I'd been chatting to an instructor at gym. We were just kind of chatting and stuff, and he said to me, have you ever thought about a trainer or instructor? And I said, well, I've been part of Virgin Active for years. I mean, I pretty much know everything. And I don't know if there's anything you can teach me. And anyway, so I didn't really say that, but that's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, I've been doing this for a while. And he said, well, you know, if you consider it, come and speak to me. And so I thought about it. And in the end, I ended up engaging him. And let me tell you, within two sessions, he'd broken me. I'd kind of realized that there's a group of muscles here from the top of the legs to the glutes that I hadn't done any work on at all. And right now, I'm struggling to walk. That is the truth. It is really painful. Stairs are a no-no. So it kind of reminded me about the value of discipleship. Those four words that are encapsulated under that, the phrase discipleship is to be a follower, to be a teacher, to be a learner, or to be apprenticed. And you know, in our culture today, particularly in business, we value those words very, very highly. But when we think about the term discipleship, we sometimes think it's an outdated word. It doesn't really have any relevance in our culture of today. And that's essentially what this series is about. It's about setting this thinking right. If you think about somebody that becomes a pilot, they don't just become a pilot after a week. They don't get in an airplane and you know, start flying. There's a whole apprenticing that has to happen. There's a teaching and a learning. They have to sit and do theory. If you think about a doctor, maybe we have doctors here today. There would have been 5 years of training before you let loose to do some kind of surgery on somebody. I mean, would you want somebody that had been trained for a week to do, you know, to sew up some of your veins? Anyone here? Is that a hand up there? No, because somebody's scratching their head. Okay, of course not. Even, you know, I'm sure that we've got plumbers here. If you want to become part of a master plumbers guild, you would have to be apprenticed. So the fact is that it was actually that this concept was taught first of all by Jesus. When we looked at the first three that he called, Peter, James, and John, and he apprenticed them. So of course, as I've said, part of the main reason that we're doing this series is so that we can understand and set this thinking right, because it's incredibly important for God's kingdom that we understand how to disciple and the value of being discipled. Essentially, it's nothing impractical. It's highly practical. It's learning to follow Jesus as a teacher would, as a learner would follow a teacher, or an apprentice would follow a master. You see, the call is twofold. First of all, we have to leave something behind in order to pick something up. The value of the thing that we're leaving is a lower trade to what we're trading it for. Jesus didn't mince his words or try and kind of hide this. He said it plainly. He said following him would cost you everything. Following Jesus is going to cost you something. But when we understand that what we're trading, what we're gaining, is understanding the very purpose for why we're here. What could be more valuable than that? Understanding and outworking the purpose for which you were placed on this earth. Another way of describing it, and Craig spoke about this last week, he said it's trading dirt for diamonds. If you think about that process, and I know it might be an abstract thing that I'm saying, but before a diamond becomes a diamond, it's a piece of dirt. And then it undergoes a process that creates something that is highly valuable, even sometimes priceless. And part of that process actually involves some great pressure. So there's going to be pressure that we put under in order to mine out something that is priceless inside of us. It brings me through into my message today, which is take my yoke and essentially, as I said, learning from Jesus. If you have your Bibles here today, I'd love to ask you just to track with us on this. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. We know this piece of scripture well. Some of us have quoted it. Maybe some of us have really had to hold on to this to get through some of the complexities of life. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Let's say that together. Rest. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart." You see, there we see the very nature of who God is. He is gentle and he is humble at heart. "And you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So here's a question that I want to ask all of us at this point. Is there anyone here that feels like they are carrying a burden that is too heavy for them? Right here this morning, do you feel weary? Do you feel that you are yoked to something that you shouldn't be yoked to? I've got a picture that I want to put up just to highlight and emphasize a large weight. I'm not saying you're an ox, okay? Let's just get that right. Okay, but that could be a symbol of, or a picture of what you feel you've been struggling with. You see, Matthew 11 started off with these words. It says, "Come to me." It's a call. Come to me. I want to ask us as a church, and I feel to do this, to ask us just to close our eyes for a minute. You see, when there's a call, friends, there's an opportunity for a response. And I've been feeling this entire week that there's going to be a response to this call. Right here. I'm not going to ask you to do anything funny. I'm not going to ask you to come up to the front. I'm simply going to ask you to pop up your hand. It says in Romans 10, verse 10, it says, "If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that I am Jesus, I am Lord and Savior, that you will be saved." It's that simple. If that is you this morning and you have never given your life to Jesus, there's a real opportunity this morning, while the eyes are closed here, while all eyes are closed, just to pop up your hand and say, "I want to follow you. I want to respond to that call, Jesus." If that is you, simply raise your hand. Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you never let us down. We want to pray a prayer with you. as a church this morning, I'd love to ask you to pray these words that I'm going to speak out now. Father, we thank you that all we have to do is confess with our mouth. Let's say this along with me. Father, thank you that all we have to do is confess with our mouths and believe with our hearts that you are Lord and Savior, that you died for our sins, and you've been raised and are seated at the right hand of our Father. Thank you, Father, that from this day I am secure in my position as a son. Thank you that one day I will take my place in heaven with you. If you are weary this morning, if you're burdened, I want to give you the opportunity this morning. If there's something that you've been carrying that you feel you shouldn't have been carrying, just to respond this morning. There's an atmosphere of faith here this morning. If that's you, why don't you put up your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you this morning for the hands that have gone up, for the step of faith, the response to a call that says, follow me, come to me. Thank you, Lord, that you are calling us to share our burden and yoke with you in a discipleship relationship. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we say, amen. You see, Jesus invites each one into a relationship of discipleship. And I want to elaborate a little bit more on that this morning. I think it's such a celebration. Well, you know, just seeing a response to a call into relation. Why don't we give that person, those people a hand this morning? Why don't we give God a hand? He never lets us down. I knew this whole week. And I'm so glad he didn't let me down, God. And he doesn't ever do that. So my point one this morning, invitation into discipleship. When I met Pam and we'd been going out for a while. Is that term still valid, going out? And we'd been dating. Is that still, anyone young, do you still call it dating? Young people? Or is there a new term for it? We've been dating for a while, and I went to Pam's father, and I drove for 3 hours in that direction. I said, can I have Pam's hand in marriage? He said, nobody else has asked yet, so I guess so. So yeah, I came back. It wasn't a wasted journey. And he said yes, and we felt the day was near, and I prepped on what I was going to do. And yeah, I didn't come to Pam on that day. I didn't say to Pam, Pam, you will be my wife. You will be my wife. You will marry me. She would have said, Andy, I won't be your wife. I won't marry you. Because you sound like a dictator, and that's not a relationship. She said yes, of course. Lucky for her, she married me. I'm going to get it after this, I tell you. If I think the glutes are sore now. Of course, it's an invitation to come to me. The center of discipleship is not cold, hard religion. It's not control. It's a relationship, and it works both ways. It's invitational and it's personal. It's not follow a bunch of rules. It's not tick some box. It's not control or manipulation. In fact, these words of a gentleman called Mr. Bonhoeffer, he says this. Let's read it together. He says, discipleship is not an offer that man makes to Christ, but an invitation that Christ makes to us. We are called to walk with him, to learn from him, to share in his missional purpose. This is the nature of Jesus' yoke. He welcomes us to walk with him, to learn from him, and to share in his missional purpose. as we see in the Gospels. The invitation is open to everyone. He doesn't say, come to me, all of you who are religious and holy. He doesn't say, come to me, all of you children's ministry teachers who tithe. But I want to say at this point that if you're a children's ministry teacher or if you're a children's ministry assistant, he's got a very special place for you in heaven. Okay, he's got a double anointing for you. And because I'm preaching, I get to say, if you want to join children's ministry, we have a place for you. Come and claim your double anointing today. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. He's great, isn't he? In fact, the parable of the sower says it really well. It encapsulates the kingdom of God. Jesus says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servant to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. But they refused. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready. You see, he didn't say to his servants, let's cancel the wedding banquet because the guests refused to come. He said this to his servants. He says, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. Invite anyone that you find. You see, and that's really the essence of the heart of the kingdom. Some of the people that Jesus invites will reject him. Some of the people that you ask to enter a discipleship relationship may reject you. But we don't then throw out the value and the revelation of the importance of discipleship. We move on. We find someone else. Jesus said to his servants, go out. If you're a believer here this morning, you're a servant. You're called to go out and to call people into relationship, to point out Jesus and who he is. When they went out to the street corners, they weren't all dressed and ready to come to a wedding. When you go to a wedding, you get dressed up. Grant wears his new trainers. Every pair of trainers that Grant has is new. They weren't ready. They came as they were. The people that God wants to put in discipleship relationship with you probably won't be ready. But that's why we've got to be mature. If it's going to happen anywhere, it's got to happen here because it's not going to happen out there. If it doesn't happen here first, it's so important to get this revelation. Amen. And it moves me into my part two, which is Jesus never intended us to carry life alone. We are relational people. Jesus says in Matthew, as we've read, come to me, all of you that are weary and burdened, and take my yoke. There's a connection there. When Jesus spoke about yokes, everyone who was listening at that particular point would have understood the concept of being yoked because it was an agricultural society. Often he spoke in his parables from a planting and a sowing perspective because people understood that. That's what they lived under. So he was trying to get his message across in this way. See, in this picture, Jesus is teaching something powerful about discipleship. We were never meant to carry life alone. Often people want to isolate, especially in times of pain and suffering, when actually God is saying, find somebody and share your burden with them. First and foremost, he's saying to us here this morning, he's saying this, walk with me. Walk with me. He's saying, learn from me. We have to have a teachable heart if we're going to learn anything. And he says, let me help you carry your burden. You see, there's two parts to this. One is a vertical aspect. It's the relationship and discipleship with God. And there's a horizontal aspect. which is the relationship between us here as a family. If the vertical is not strong, it can't carry the horizontal. Think of it as a twig carrying a log. It's going to snap and break. That's why we've got to renew our minds. That's why we've got to worship. That's why we've got to praise God. Because it reminds us of who He is, and it reminds us of who we are. You see, one of the ways Jesus lightens our burdens is through our church community, through our godly friends, and through the leaders and mentors that He's placed in our path. That's why Paul says this in Galatians. He says, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, is that a law? Oh, I thought we were in a new covenant. What's the law of Christ? Well, the law of Christ is simple. It's to love one another as Jesus loves you. That's the law of Christ. It's not a heavy burden. It's not a striving. It's something simple. Just love one another as I've loved you. And I love the crisscrossing of Scripture. The one supports the other. From the old to the new, to the new to the old. John 13, verse 34 backs this up. He says, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. You see, a healthy disciple grows in two ways. Not in isolation in that relationship, but in a vertical, and he also, or she also grows in a horizontal. The horizontal is incredibly important. It's the it keeps us encouraged. It keeps us accountable to each other. That word is a swear word for many people. I don't want to be accountable to anyone. Well, sir, madam, you cannot be taught. And you have to have a teachable heart in order to remain accountable to someone. It's a strengthening relationship that we have, and it's very supportive. You see, the challenge for us here this morning, if that's not part of your culture as a person right now, maybe you're new in the kingdom, that the value of the series is to help us highlight how important this relationship is. If the church, if Grace Life is going to become everything that God planned it to become, we have to raise up men and women from a discipleship perspective, teachable, faithful, available. And it has to happen. It has to start here with us, friends. Maybe somebody's invited you into this kind of relationship, and you've said, "Look, I just don't have the time for this. I'm busy with stuff. My load is large. I cannot take anything more on." Well, that's exactly why God wants to couple you, to yoke you, first of all, to Him, and then to the people around you that maybe can help and mentor you into understanding what plates to spin and what plates that you need to put down. The valuable things. Sometimes we say we can't take on kingdom things because we're too busy. It says, seek first the kingdom, and then He will add the rest. That's the priority, friends. And this leads me into my next point this morning, which is my third and final point, which is the nature of Jesus' yoke. Jesus said in the Gospel of Matthew, He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In Jesus' day, there were many yokes that people would have to carry. So I've got four here that we're going to read together. One of them is the yoke of religious expectation, the yoke of law and tradition, the yoke of repentance and striving, and the yoke of trying to be right with God through our own efforts. In our culture of today, we have many yokes that we can be under. The yoke of repentance and striving, the yoke of trying to measure up to what God to accept God and His goodness. You see, they're very similar. That's what I love about Scripture. It's not something that's outdated and applies to ancient people. It's as relevant to you and me today as it ever was to them and ever will be to anybody to come. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's timeless and it will never be outdated, ever. Here's the truth. When we look at Jesus' yoke, we often misunderstand what it is. We think that it's going to be, if I can come into kingdom life, I'm going to have to take on more pressure, more responsibility. There's going to be more weight and more striving. But you see, that's what it looks like to an outsider that doesn't have a relationship with Jesus. Because he said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Sometimes people think that when they come into a church family, that they're going to have to toss the fun out the window. Never will they have fun again. It's going to, my life's going to be, that's the last fun I'll ever have. Let me tell you that that's not the truth. We were singing a song about, what was that song about? There is joy in the house of the Lord. Hey, you were singing that those words right now. Sorry, Jess. You were singing. Better put your raincoat on. It's coming, Jess. Maybe I should stand in front of Pam. It's coming. There's joy in the house of the Lord. It's not a place that's void of fun. It's such fun. Come and join our family. Come and serve. Come and disciple and be discipled, and you'll see for yourself. You see, it's a reprioritization of fun, rather. If your idea of fun is to go out on a Friday night till 3 o'clock in the morning, get absolutely smashed. Smashed. Sometimes smash your car. If that's your idea of fun, smashing your car. And then coming home and missing out on your kid's sports day on Saturday morning or a date with your wife or your husband. You see, that's not fun. It's horrible. You're going to suffer with who wants to suffer with a pounding headache for half a day? Man, I remember those days. Thank goodness Pam doesn't do that anymore. You see, he says, it's easy, it's light, and it's restful for our soul. Hey, who wants rest here today? How many minutes? 2 minutes left. You see, it's not a physical rest, of course, it's a soul rest. It's a trade that happens when we take on Jesus' yoke. Jesus' yoke is not absent of responsibility. It's a shared responsibility. In the past, farmers would have understood this. What they would have done is they would have, and in fact, they probably still do it today. They take a younger, less experienced ox and they yoke it to a stronger, more experienced ox. The younger one learns from the older one. Eventually, the younger one matures and grows to at least that level, if not to a greater level than the stronger one. They then unyoke them. They take the one that was weaker and they yoke it now to one that is weaker. Do you see the pattern that Jesus was teaching about discipleship? Think about that four-chair discipleship and how it ties into this. Is that on chair four, we don't stop being discipled, but we become disciple makers. That's when we're being effective in the kingdom, when we become disciple makers. You see, the yoke is tailor-made. It's not factory-produced. It's specific to you, Leo, and your set of circumstances in your life. He's shaped the thing. He was a carpenter. He shaped that thing perfectly for you to fit. Nobody else, Leo. Only you. Look at me, Leo. Right. See, it doesn't include carrying the burdens of fear that we pick up. It doesn't include the striving, the weight of striving that we add ourselves. It doesn't include the pressure of trying to be our own savior. And then he gives us this promise. He says, you will find rest for your soul. So if you feel heavy this morning, if you feel burdened and unrestful, if you feel like you've been striving on your own, Jesus is saying to you this morning, come back under my yoke and shed yours. Because when we are truly yoked to Jesus, we discover this. He carries what we were never meant to carry alone. And he leads us into a life that is not effortless. He hasn't called us to be lazy, but that is peaceful, steady, and sustained by Him. And that brings me to the end of part two. I'd love to ask us just to stand this morning as we prepare to close this message off. Father, we thank you this morning for the truth that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Father, thank you that you are highlighting clearly through this message that you want us to mature, to become disciple makers, so that Grace Life can become everything that you've planned it to become. Father, we pray this morning that where there are relationships that need to be coupled together, that you'd be very clear inside of the hearts and minds of people about who those people are. Thank you that you are a relational Father. You're an amazing teacher. We want to be apprenticed by you, Father. I'm going to say thank you. Thank you for calling us. Where there's a call, let there be a response. Thank you, Father. We say, amen. Amen. Wonderful. And one last thing before I go. Because my glutes and my bottom and my legs are very sore, I need somebody to help me carry that burden. Clint, come here. Can I ask you, can you help me carry my burden, my friend? There we go. Thank you.